Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Let's Talk CFL Podcast. Roundtable discussion recorded live on Sunday and Wednesday nights. Visit Let's Talk CFL on Facebook for showtimes. Brought to you by the Let's Talk Sports Groups on Facebook. Our partners, LostWorldOnSport.com. Stream live on BlogTalkRadio.com.
Hey, good evening, sports fans, and welcome to Let's Talk CFL Podcast, episode number 572. I'm your host, Christopher Jones, coming to you from Merritt, British Columbia. We're going to talk some football tonight, and that's CFL football, because really, any other football is kind of boring, in my opinion. But then, you know, hey, some people like NCAA, but that's their problem, not mine, because I don't watch it. Anyhow, this football season starting. The training camp is on. Well, the rookie camp was on. The training camp officially starts tomorrow. That's awesome. This is awesome. We're going to be talking football. We've got some serious topics to come through. Not the same things we've been dragging up all winter. Yeah, we're going to talk about that too. But just awesome. We're going to with football. Football season's happening here. We got a football game in like 10 days or so to watch. This is stellar awesome. This is what we waited since November for. It's time. I guess I better renew my TSN subscription so that I can watch the games. That would be important. It would suck not being able to watch TV, watch the football games. Hockey's on. Fucking Florida's just pummeling Boston. Oh, my God. I can't believe that the Bruins are taking a shit-kicking like that. But then they went out in the first round last year to Florida. So who's not expecting this? Oh, there. Oh, look, somebody's online. Who's that? Will, welcome to the show, buddy. How you doing?
I'm good. Yeah, I'm excited about football coming up as well. I'm anticipating watching a bunch of football games this year because I can. Because I do have TSN. So
yeah,
there you go. And right
TSN.
Now
I get an online subscription
right
to it and I can watch it on Wi-Fi.
And right now I am watching boring-ass hockey. So between Vancouver and the Oilers. Vancouver and the Oilers.
What's the score?
At 0?
1-1. Okay.
1-1.
Keep us updated on that, okay? Who's 9 years old, is a very, very passionate Oilers fan. And I have no idea why. No idea why. Both his great-grandmas are huge Canuck fans. And we live in BC. Everything about it, you know, we're... He can go to a Vancouver Canucks game in 2 hours. He's got to go drive 9 hours to get to Edmonton. I don't get it. He's an Edmonton Oilers fan.
Because they have McJesus. That's why.
Yeah. Well, exactly. And he does have a jersey.
I was going to say that.
He's got McDavid on his jersey. Yeah. But you should have saw him the other night when the Oilers were up 4-1 and he got to stay up late because, you know, he had school the next day and got to stay up late to watch his game. Got into the third period and the Oilers went shit to bed. He had a biblical meltdown. He was sobbing. He was crying. It was like somebody just killed his girlfriend. It was amazing. He had a total meltdown. And it's bad.
Yeah.
Anyhow. I don't mean to pick on him. Anyhow, welcome to the show. He's nine.
Nine. Okay.
Yeah.
That's an emotional age, Christopher. Come on.
Oh, I know it is. So Rick's on here too. Rick, how are you doing, buddy? Welcome to the show.
I'm doing real good. Happy to be talking some football. I spent all day photographing U14 girls volleyball, which is not that exciting.
You cretin. Sorry, did I say that out loud?
I knew you were going to say that.
I was setting them up. It's funny. One thing I did notice, though, girls don't really seem to mind getting their asses kicked.
No?
They're happy after getting whooped. It's kind of funny. All smiley and happy, and boys are just built different.
I don't know. I was at the gold medal game at the Olympics, the women's hockey, and I watched Canada beat the American team, and they got second place. The Finns, I think it was, were excited as hell because they got third place, but the American, every one of the Americans were bawling. They lost their shit. So you can't tell me they're not emotional about it. And they got,
well, now
they
you're
got
talking
as they get older,
now you're talking, now you're talking women, not young girls. And the Olympics compared to U14 nationals is a whole different level of sport.
Of course it is. Of course it is. And that's one of my, never mind, we're not even going to go there on, that would just be bringing up the why the ratio is stupid. We're not going to do that tonight.
There you go.
Way too much else to talk about. Okay.
Cool.
So, yeah, we've got a whole pile of little things to talk about. Do you want to start off with some of these things and we can discuss them and then
sure.
get to the elephant in the room, or do we want to start right off the bat with Chad Kelly?
No, let's not talk about him right
well,
now.
Well, we will. Okay.
Yeah, we will. Later.
Okay. After a lot of very public, I want to call demands, but more like requests, almost begging, Emmanuel Arsenault has chosen to retire after his 11-year CFL career. He wanted to play football one more year, and just nobody wanted to put a pen to paper for him, so I guess he just turned around and he retired. Now, I was kind of expecting him, he was a pretty big part of the BC Lions and he did well with them and yada, yada, yada. I thought he would have done that one-day contract and retired a Lion, but he didn't. I guess his last team was the Edmonton Elks, and so be it. I honestly don't know if he actually retired. He announced his retirement, but I don't know whether or not he actually filed the paperwork or not. Maybe he's kind of waiting to see if anybody, beginning of the season, anybody's looking for a receiver and then does that, because it nothing came from the league on it. This is just a three-down nation thing. So we'll know. We'll see what happens. But Manny was a great – he was a BC Lion, and yes, I'm pretty happy that he was part of our team. And he was in some tough years with the Lions when the Lions were not playing very well. And he was always a star. And he always gained a lot of respect from a lot of people by his always positive outlook on things. So, and he was great with the kids. He was great with the fans. He was just an all-star guy, just stand-up guy. So appreciate his time in the CFL. And he's called with a career. Rick, you got anything to say?
All the things you said, great, great player and all that, but at 36, I think it's time to retire.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't have a problem with that.
Time to move
but
on.
Look at,
it's
look
always.
At Siegel.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that in a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, but.
Good on him. It's better to go out walking and talking than being more or less, humiliated by staying at the party too long.
I agree. And that's kind of almost what happened to him this year, just by begging for a contract and just coming up empty. It just does not, it didn't look good on him. I kind of felt bad for him like that. It's kind of sad.
Yep. Willie?
Nick Lewis had 1,000 yards at 36 years old.
Yeah. And could hop.
That's all I'm going to say. All you had to do is turn around and catch the ball six yards slant. And he did it continuously. Benny Arsenault could do that.
Yeah. But Benny somebody's Arsenault got to give him a contract to do it.
That's true.
Right? Manny could probably play for another 4 years. Guy's in amazing
shape. Yeah, well,
shape.
You know what?
Nick wasn't.
He's also a guy who kept himself in shape, and Nick Lewis was a fat fuck. Okay?
Yeah.
So
he got the name Thick Nick for a reason.
That's correct.
But we love them both. So, they're both great guys, and you know what? I have nothing but the utmost respect for both Nick Lewis and Manny Arsenault.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Not sure I can say the same about Mr. Siegel, but that's beside the point.
Good players.
Okay.
And at the peak of their career, they weren't making $300,000 a season like some fucking people are paying receivers.
No,
like,
they weren't.
Come on.
They were.
Yeah.
True that.
But then, you know, that happens in every sport. I remember, you know, like Bobby Orr playing for $85,000 a year. You know?
Yeah, but everybody played for $85,000 a year.
Yeah, exactly. But then Wayne Gretzky comes in and signs a million-dollar contract.
Yeah, well.
Well, the Golden Jets signed the first million-dollar contract.
Yeah.
That is correct.
With the Jets, wasn't it?
With the Jets on the corner of Portage and Maine in Winnipeg.
Yeah.
And gave the WHL some cred.
Yeah.
I got a good laugh out of Todd Mogi today, Christopher.
Yeah, what did he say?
He posted something on about how busy Costco was in Winnipeg when he was there today. And my comment was, fuck, does Winnipeg have a Costco? He thought that was pretty funny.
It is funny. I wouldn't have thought they did. I mean, Kelowna has a Costco.
Yeah.
Okay. So while we're talking about really old receivers, Milt Stegall, at the age of 35, has, I can't say come out of retirement, but he wanted to go to training camp with the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. And he did that.
Why?
Yesterday, because he said he wanted to feel the pain of training camp.
Okay.
He missed the pain that you receive in training camp. So he did that. He was out on the field for one day, and my understanding is he did okay. I don't think the Bombers are offering him a contract or anything, but
it was just rookie camp. So
yeah, and he didn't embarrass himself. Let's put it that way.
Well, Milt Stegall still looks like he's in good shape.
Yeah, he does.
And apparently he does not put bad shit into his body and never has.
Yeah, he's a vegan.
Okay,
like weird.
So, and he's always thinking he's great, so whatever. Hey, you know what? He was probably bored.
Oh, yeah.
And we're talking about it on our podcast.
We're talking about him.
Yeah,
exactly.
And it was,
we're not talking
you know,
about
good,
anybody else.
Good PR and publicity for the Bombers.
Yeah, 100%. And I
he's a,
guy.
He's a god. He's a god in Winnipeg, so.
Oh, he is. But when I posted the article on Let's Talk CFL podcast, our Facebook page about it, it was kind of like my comment was, wow, some actual news that doesn't involve Chad Kelly. You know, because it was the first thing that we actually got to talk about that it wasn't Chad Kelly in like 2 months. It's weird.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Okay. So you don't go to the you're in Abbotsford. Never mind. You're just a Winnipeg fan. I was going to say
a long commute for Rick.
It's a long commute. You have to go watch the fucking
long
practice.
Commute.
Yeah. Okay. Never mind. Brain fart. We won't go there. So oh shit. Never mind. Let's move on to a different story because I don't think we have anything to say about Milt. Do we, Rick? You want to add anything to him?
No.
Okay. So CFL adds on-demand playback, AirPlay compatibility to free preseason streaming options. It's the preseason games, and they're not on TSN. So I'm going to have to watch them on this AirPlay compatibility. So we'll have to make sure that there's a link and post the link for everybody, and we can go from there. So are you going to watch the preseason games, Will? Does it interest you at all?
Yes.
It's football,
unfortunately, I would probably have lots of tickets for the first Stampeders preseason game, but I will be in Winnipeg, and I won't be able to go.
Oh. And I guess there Rick will be with you in Winnipeg, right? This is a family wedding or something, right?
He
yes.
won't be with me, but he'll be there.
Four weddings.
Oh, and actually that day is the wedding day. So yeah, so no, I won't be here.
Okay. That's cool. Rick, are you going to pay attention to the preseason games, except for the ones that when you're at the wedding? But does preseason interest you? You're a football coach. Does it?
Not much. You know what I'll probably do is hopefully they'll have a recap on YouTube and I'll watch those.
Okay.
If so I'm being honest.
AirPlay compatibility is not, it doesn't excite you anyhow. Okay.
I don't even know what AirPlay compatibility is.
Neither do I. AirPlay compatibility.
Okay.
AirPlay is when you have an iPad and you're streaming it and you can broadcast it onto your smart TV.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
I don't have a smart TV.
Don't own an iPad.
Yeah, so yeah, no, it's just one of those things, and it's just that's how we're watching all of the hockey games right now is with a Sportsnet app, and you bring it Sportsnet app on up onto your computer, and then there's a little button right there that says AirPlay, and it shoots it off to whatever TV you want it to.
Cool.
And then you're watching it just like normal. Except you don't have to watch the commercials. When it goes to a commercial, the screen comes up with a big Sportsnet logo.
Okay.
Which I don't understand because you'd think that they're getting money for the commercials that they would broadcast them online too, but I guess they don't, so it's not a bad thing. We don't get to skip the time, but we don't get to watch the stupid commercials anyhow. And the commercials to me right now, and I noticed this in TSN, and I pointed it out several years now. Do you know what's missing? I don't know if Rick's listened to me rant on this one before. Have you noticed what's missing out of commercials these days or what the main theme is?
Yes.
There's no such thing as a straight white couple anymore. It doesn't exist on TV, okay? In all of the commercials on TSN during a CFL game, there's only one commercial that shows a straight white couple, actually a family because there's a daughter there. Do you know which one that one is?
No.
Purelators Tackle Hunger. It's a food bank family.
Uh-huh.
That they're receiving food bank.
Okay.
And that is the only straight white couple that's in there. There's either gay guys or there's black and white, Chinese, Vietnamese, Korean, whatever. There's no such thing as a straight white couple on TV anymore in commercials. It doesn't exist. It's 100% woke and has been for many, many years.
Do either one of you get Netflix?
Yes.
Yes.
Have you watched the Tom Brady? Have you watched the Tom Brady roast?
No,
not in its entirety.
Okay, that's where woke people go to die, because it is fucking amazing. If you
look
at the expression,
woke?
No, they're not woke. They're
they're
back to where we used to be, and
some
of the stuff they say is pretty bad.
Well, you know, they're talking about, they're doing reruns right now of Seinfeld, and all the millennials are complaining that this is so racist and so disgusting. They obviously couldn't watch All in the Family, the Jeffersons, or Sanford and Son. They'd lose their fucking minds.
I just, because there's nothing on TV right now, I just finished rewatching the entire, I don't know if you guys remember this, it was called NYPD Blues, and it was on normal television. Okay, I just watched the entire 12th season of that. And that would not make it on TV today either, because it is not nice at all.
Like, do you remember Hill Street Blues?
Yep, same thing. Same thing. So,
yeah. Anyway. Times change, boys. Times change.
They do so, but they were such good. They were such good shows. I'm sorry, they were good
yeah,
shows,
agreed.
And they were
agreed.
Real.
Agreed.
And they were real.
Agreed.
So, yep.
Don't know how real they were, but they were entertaining.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and
but
that's what I like
to
do. Is
characters. They were.
When I watch TV,
you could relate to them.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh well.
Anyhow, let's go back to the agenda here and see where we are. We just did
sure.
AirPlay compatibility, right? So that's how you know what that is.
Yep.
Milt Stegall, Edmonton Elks posted a $3.9 million loss, but ownership review process is going well. Hey, who wants to buy this team? You're going to lose $4 million a year. Okay, I personally don't think they'd lose $4 million a year. Last year was an extremely rough year. There was a lot of problems with it. They're still having a problem with that name change. And they are posted a record-setting home losing streak. And like there was nothing going right for the Edmonton Elks last year. And I understand them losing $3.9 million. It's sad that that happened. I hope they do better this year. I know they're going to play better. I know that they're going to win more games. So hopefully they can put some more butts in the seats. And some people who are a little bit fucking anal retentive, in my opinion, are going to get over this name change and get back to watching football. Who cares what the name of your football team is? Just go out and support your football team. It's going to be there forever, right? Hopefully it's there forever, unless you don't go. And then it might not be there forever. I mean, how many times has that happened in Ottawa and Montreal? Pretty much every team sometimes got to the point where they almost lost their football team. So it sucks when that happens. It sucks when that happens. So don't do it. Get out there and support your team. And who gives a shit what the name is? I disagree 100% with changing the name. I'm not woke. We know that. But fuck off already. It doesn't matter. It's the same football. It's the same thing. What's the big deal? So it's not Eskimos. Who cares? Get over it already. Boggles the mind. But $3.9 million.
Some of them can't get past it.
No, they can't. And it's amazing how many people have turned in their season tickets because of it. And I mean, okay.
Yeah,
wow.
But once again, you know what will turn around a lack of attempt?
Winning.
Winning season. That's
winning.
Simple.
Yep.
Put
winning.
A fucking Grey
Absolutely.
Cup in Edmonton, and it will take off. It'll come back. You get a winning team. And I think it's
going to... Get the bandwagon going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know what? There's a whole new series of fans out there that don't have the attachment to Eskimos. You know, the hardcore Eskimo fans are our generation, and we're dying. So,
I still don't think that's the biggest problem. The biggest problem is they've been losing for so long now.
I think so.
It really went downhill when they didn't try and sign Mike Riley way back when. So,
okay. Well, your mic is cutting in and out. Your mic's cutting in and out.
I said,
again.
So is yours.
Wow, that was funny.
Now?
It sounds like
now?
You're
what?
Echoing.
Okay.
Yeah, you're cutting out now, Chris.
Are you doing this on purpose, or are you actually trying to fix it?
How about now?
That's good. I like that. Okay. So, $3.9 million loss. That's large. Oh, we just lost Will.
That hurts.
How did that happen? It hurts. I agree, it hurts. But, and what's worse is being a community-owned team that they don't have this, you know, deep pockets to go back and dig it out. But
yeah, they got to find the money somewhere. They can't just pull it out their ass.
How about now? Is that better?
Trying to get Will back here.
I said, how about now? Is that better? Hello?
Well, in the beginning it was.
I hear you, Will.
There. Okay.
Is that better?
That is.
Okay.
Yep.
I'm back then. What the fuck is that?
So, that was my phone. So I just put it on mute, so that's okay. So carrying on here, what are we going to do? Where were we? $3.9 million loss by the Edmonton Elks. That's a big kick in the teeth. But, you know, do you think that if somebody is going to buy this team? Or do you think they have to put a winning product on the field and try to get this this economic loss turned around? Or is there somebody out there with deep pockets? I mean, there's got to be some billionaires in the Alberta province that are going to step up for this. Isn't there?
Yeah, there's somebody out there that'll buy them. I guarantee you. Guarantee you. So. Jesus.
I muted it again.
DJ don't miss calls. Not with that ringtone.
Yeah, no, I try not to miss calls. I'm kind of deaf, so, and I'm always operating equipment, machinery and stuff, so it's got to be loud and vibrating and doing everything. You should see the ringtone my daughter has. It scares the shit out of me. So when she phones, I know it's her. Okay, so, yeah, I think somebody's going to buy this team. I think I'll put some effort into it. It's going to be like you want to find somebody like Amar Doman. Somebody who's really excited about football, right? Somebody who's passionate about football. David Braley was like that. Bob Young was like that. It's one of those things. It's you just have to find a fan because people don't want to lose money. And so that there has to be a passion for it to be able to do that and to sustain losses so you can turn something around, at least put some effort into turning it around. And I really have a problem with millionaires buying the team. You need to have billionaires buying the team because millionaires can't sustain $4 million losses where billionaires can, no big deal, right? You know, the Murray Pezum, Bill Comrie, Nelson Scalbanias of the world, they don't have enough money to pull this off on their own. And I think that's why Ottawa sports and entertainment business that they had where they got a bunch of millionaires that went together so they could do it. As opposed to trying to do it all on your own. I don't know. It's kind of cool. Okay, so let's moving up the agenda. Unless you guys have anything to say about this, the sale. Do you know anybody that wants to buy the team? Will, can you put any referrals out there? How about your ex-boss? No.
Yeah, I'd buy the team. I'd buy the team if I had money.
No, you wouldn't. Would really? The Edmonton team? And what, change the name back to the Eskimos?
I'd change the name back to Eskimos.
Yeah. I would. In a heartbeat, I would. And maybe the next owner will do that. Very cool if they did that. Bought the team. Do you know how much money they would make in the first year? Do you know if someone took on with the team and said, enough of this fucking bullshit. We're changing the name back to Eskimos, and we're going to put a good product on the team, on the field, and we're going to win some football games, and we're going to win some championships. The fans would flock to that stadium. And they'd have no excuse not to.
No, they wouldn't. They would not.
I mean, there's so many fans.
That would be a
Was that English?
Short-term fix, CJ.
It would be.
That would
but
appeal,
if he
that
backed
would appeal
up
to
what
all
he
of,
said.
Yeah, but that would appeal to the majority of the baby boomers, and we're all dying. So in another 10 years, the team would be in trouble again.
Put a product on the field and win some championships.
Yeah, but there's plenty of people behind us generational that are perfectly okay with the name change and would prefer it. So I don't think that's the be-all, end-all, but a winning team would make a big difference.
Okay, your mic is doing weird. Can you hear that, Will? Okay, well, I don't know. He's
Am I better now?
Yeah.
Good.
You're kind of sounding like Will was. Pretty scary.
As are you, sir.
On, Canadian quarterback Nathan Rourke is claimed off of waiver by the New York Giants. That's just another kick at the can, and let's go for another season and see what happens. He never got to the – I don't think he – there was – oh, yeah, there was one or two games that he dressed for on the sidelines but never got to play football. Good on him. Hope he gets on the field. Hope he does something. But you know what? I've lost a lot of enthusiasm for backing up Nathan Rourke right now. He's either going to make his place down in the NFL, or he's going to come back to the CFL, or he's just going to say enough of football and I'm out of here. Come on. I don't think that's going to happen because his brother's now coming online. I'm choppy as fuck. Is that what you're saying, Will?
Yes.
You were a little bit, but you're better now.
Okay. Well, then all three of us have been doing it. So if all three of us are doing it, then I would have to say that it's not us.
I would agree.
It's blood clotting.
Well, it could be me because I'm eating cookies, so.
Okay.
Well, I'm drinking bourbon.
I can't hear what you're saying, but we're going to do it. Bo Levi Mitchell is spotted in a running boot at the Hamilton Ticats practice. Now, I cannot even predict this. Okay, I said he'd be down in the first three games of the season, but he didn't even make it to training camp, and he got injured. What was he doing? Swinging in the shower, looking for a bending over for a bar of soap? I mean, how does this guy just, like... why did the Ticats tolerate this bullshit?
He was out chasing women with Chad Kelly. I said he was out with Chad Kelly.
No, I think he's just a broken football player, and he breaks really easy, and he was probably working out in the off season, and he broke himself again. It's that simple.
Yeah.
So he should retire. I cannot, once again, this is the same thing as what you were talking about before, okay? I said Calgary doesn't have a quarterback, Jake Mayer, and Hamilton is still insisting on putting Bo Levi Mitchell on the fucking field. He can't throw the ball anymore, and he gets injured the first time somebody touches him. So, like, what the fuck?
The sun goes behind the cloud and the guy gets hurt. If he was a competent quarterback and he could sustain himself on the field, he'd still be a Stampeder.
Correct.
Stampeders wouldn't have let him go if he could still play at a high level. Why would they?
But they let
Bo Levi Mitchell go for Jake Mayer.
I know, and Jake Mayer beat him out, and Jake Mayer sucks.
Yeah, and he's better. And I can honestly say I think Jake Mayer is a better quarterback than Bo Levi Mitchell right now.
Yes, I agree.
Calgary was not wrong. Hamilton, on the other hand, I have no idea what the fuck they're thinking.
And isn't Scott Milanovic supposed to be the great quarterback guru? You telling me he can't see it?
I don't know. I really don't know. I'm losing it with Scott Milanovic. I really did. I like the guy. I think he did an amazing job with Toronto here. I think he's a great football mind. But he can't keep flogging this dead horse called Mitchell.
Nope.
It doesn't work.
But on the other hand, they have what's his name in the wings. The guy who played most of the games last year.
Taylor Powell. I
can't remember. What?
Well, his last name's Powell. I don't know what his first name is. I think it's Taylor.
Something like that.
I could be wrong. I don't know. Anyhow. But doesn't Bo Levi Mitchell, when he shows up for training camp, doesn't he have to, don't they all pass a physical to be able to play? And if he can't pass the physical, then they don't have to pay him.
I guess. I don't know.
I mean, I figured that he would at least wait until he passed the physical before he could get hurt. Then he can sit on the sidelines and collect a paycheck for the entire season. And kind of like what he did last
year. But if it's an injury he sustained while training for the season, they're not going to fault him for that. If he came back fat and out of shape, then they would fine him. Injury's a different thing.
Yeah, injuries are a different thing, but it depends on where the injury took place, too. I mean, I'm sorry, but football team is a company. It's a business.
Yep.
You have to run it like a business.
Yep.
And if you don't have to pay this guy, why would you?
That's what I'm sort of going for here. They probably have to pay him if it was a training injury. Part of
I don't
job
think they have to pay him
to be
before
shape,
he passes
right?
the physical. No, that training in the offseason is his choice. It's not a requirement.
But
they're not required
well
to do anything
his contract.
But you never know what's in his contract.
They're not required to do anything until the first day of training camp.
You never know what's in his contract.
Okay. I'm not sure about this one, but Scott Milanovich believes linebacker Jordan Williams did the Ticats a favor by retiring early. Ticats seem to have a plethora of linebackers, and if you're not 100%, they don't want you on the team. And this guy just said, you know what, I'm not feeling that good. I'm going to retire. Bye. And off he goes at 29 years old, I believe it was. So I don't know there's much to say about that other than we should expect great things from the linebacker corps at Hamilton this year if they've got that many.
Yeah, I'm surprised because what's his name retired, right? Number 21.
Simone Lawrence.
And they didn't re-sign. Oh my Lord, why can't I get these names right? The guy that was from Calgary who played with them last year. Middle linebacker, he signed with Saskatchewan. And you know who I'm talking about. I can't remember.
I do not.
Sorry.
I do not know who you're talking about.
Oh, this will drive me nuts. Keep on talking. I'll find out.
Are you looking it up or do you need me to?
Yep, I'm looking it up.
Okay. Then we'll move on. One thing we didn't talk about is this new call.
Jameer Thurman. That's who I'm talking about. Yeah. He left. He didn't re-sign with Hamilton. He went to Saskatchewan. So.
Mm-hmm. So the 2024 CFL Football Hall of Fame induction class has been announced. And we have Chad Owens, S.J. Green, Weston Dressler, cornerback Marvin Coleman, defensive end Rick Goldsmith, And in the builder category, Ray Johns. And one of the Canadian greatest Canadian football, Ed Laverty. And in the other category, we have RMI and Steve, somebody, BC Lions guy, that are going in the media category. I don't actually have those two guys' names here, but good players. I mean, S.J. Green, yeah. Chad Owens, why not? Hudson Dressler, of course. What's really amazing is that Enoch Mwamba and Donovan Bennett are hosting the Waggle.
Why is that amazing?
It's
amazing because they're fucking horrible.
Yeah,
they're horrible.
Of course they are.
But they get more guests
than we do.
Honestly,
I think we can do a better job of the getaway. Yeah, but that's only because
they're... They get more guests than we do. They got contacts.
We could go on the show and host that show and do better than they do. But
yeah,
we wouldn't
we
be
could,
allowed
I
to
guarantee
swear
it.
As much as we do. And Randy Ambrosi doesn't like me.
I could replace Jim Barker on TSN. I could replace Jim Barker on TSN. I guarantee you.
Yeah.
I have a face for radio.
We need to get better technical things if we're going to do something like that. But anyhow, so that's kind of cool. Did we talk about the Elks going to Punjabi Radio?
Yes. We did.
We did that on the last show? Okay.
Yes.
A couple
shows ago, yeah.
Because I think that's a pretty cool thing.
You want to increase the fan base? That's one way to do it.
Of course. Okay, so...
They do it on Hockey Night in Canada right now, so... As well. So.
Yeah. Anything new in the hockey games there, the Oilers Canucks game?
It's 2-2 and it's nasty.
What was that, sorry?
That's all I'm going to say. I said it's 2-2 and it's really nasty. It's a very chippy game.
Okay.
And they're picking on McDavid.
Rick, can you hear him? Yes. Or is it just me?
I hear him, and I hear you breaking up a bunch.
You hear me breaking up, but Will's okay.
Yeah, when you read off the list of the inductees, I didn't get a single name.
Yeah.
Couldn't hear any of them.
Really? Okay. Okay, well, I'm going to try something different here, just because. And maybe this entire problem is my setup. And I'm going to phone in. I'm going to have to mute my mic. Okay, is this better?
Yep.
Crystal clear right now, yeah.
Okay, beautiful. So I'm just going to keep that off. I'm going to turn off my headset, and it's obviously not working for me right now. And we'll carry on, and I'll put this on hide that and go to speak. And, okay, are we back in business now? We can carry on?
Yep.
Perfect.
We're good.
Perfect. We good? Because I can hear both of you guys now. Obviously, then maybe it's my setup. I need a new set of headphones. Okay, so where are we going here? I had something that was kind of interesting where I was trying not to go to the Chad Kelly thing just yet because there's so many articles, so much going on with Chad Kelly right now. Okay, well, what is this? Former NFL DB Buster Skrine on the run from the Canadian police? Did you guys see this?
No.
No what?
I don't know who this guy is.
I haven't seen it.
He's a black guy with blonde hair. But, yeah, he was originally arrested by the Durham Regional Police at Toronto's Pearson International Airport on fraud-related charges totaling over $100,000, and he skipped bail. He was granted bail on the condition he'd return to Durham for court appearances, and he did not show up. So now there's a... He removed his mandatory ankle tracker and has gone missing. Cool. Yeah, it's all about check fraud, writing checks and opening bank accounts, getting bank checks, and then writing a whole pile of checks and closing down the account. Huh, interesting. That's a three-down article if anybody wants to go read it. Pretty cool. Okay, well, we're going to get the elephant in the room because I really don't think we've got much else to talk about. We'll find something in there because I'm sure that I had some posted up some stuff on Let's Talk CFL podcast page. And well, not the podcast, but the Facebook group. And we'll go from there. But right now, okay, the CFL independent investigation collaborated against the Toronto Argonauts, Chad Kelly, including sexual harassment. And I believe the term was unequivocal. Big word for me. And that he is just, he's done. And the CFL, the league, in their lip dick type of mode, came back with a minimum 9-game suspension for Kelly based on the findings. And he now has to go to mandatory counseling sessions on a gender-based violence and undergo an assessment by an independent expert to be reinstated by the league. Now, anybody who's followed anything to do with Chad Kelly's career knows that he's not going to be able to fucking do this. So why didn't Randy Ambrosi just have the balls to say, no, I'm sorry, I'm terminating your contract, and we will not honor or will not authorize any other contracts in the CFL for this guy, just like he did with Johnny Manziel. Why couldn't he just do that? Why can't you just show some balls and do this? So is it because it's Toronto? If this was any other team in the league, he'd be done. He'd be toast. He'd be gone. But is it because it's the Toronto Argonauts and their team is so sad and pathetic in the largest city in Canada? I don't pick on Toronto because they have lack of fans. I don't pick on Toronto because of any other reason. I pick on them because they're not doing the right fucking thing right now. Okay? I don't hate the team. I'm not a fan of the city. I've been to Toronto several times. I don't like the city. I don't like dealing with business with companies in Toronto. The arrogance is just boggles the mind. And, so, no, as a West Coaster, I don't like the city of Toronto. But I got nothing to do with, no problem with the Argonauts themselves. But now I do. This is ridiculous what they have done. And we can recap this in a bit. But I want to know, Rick, what you think of this minimum nine-game suspension for Kelly and his mandatory counseling sessions. Do you believe that he's capable of doing this? Do you believe that... That is a sufficient. Now that is the longest suspension in CFL history. Nobody else has been suspended for 9 games in the CFL, and boom, bang, it's just done. And where does the 9-game number come from? That's half a season. What do you think, Rick?
Yeah, good question. If that's the longest suspension, then it would seem to me that they're taking this somewhat seriously. I don't know if it'll teach them any lessons. I'm surprised that the club itself hasn't done something before letting the league, you know, take care of your own dirty laundry first so the league doesn't have to get involved. That's the way my house get run. You know, get out in front of it. I mean, I've never run a club like that. I've run some amateur clubs, and I was always the first one to suspend bad actors before the league got involved in something they'd done. We just washed our hands of them. Or, as I say, we unvolunteered them.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't... it's a little baffling. And then you're reading the different articles and hearing different people's opinions, which in the Facebook groups, there's some people that have some weird opinions. I saw one today saying, well, what's the big deal? You know, 25, 30 years ago, this behavior was acceptable. Well, it's not anymore. And there's rules against it. And you just don't do it. So you got to pay the price when you do it. Seems like a big price. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And
100 years ago, we
must
have slaves.
Yes, you must from the club standard, you've got to act on complaints right away. I mean, there are same stuff like this. We have lost generals and admirals out of our military for the same reason, because they just sweep these complaints under the carpet, and you can't do that anymore. You got to deal with it. As unpleasant as it is, you got to stand up for these people. So it just, yeah, I would be okay with a bye-bye, you're out of the league.
But is that the way that this was set up? Was it set up with unrealistic expectations of Chad Kelly being able to come back to the league? And if it was, why didn't they just say fuck off?
Exactly, because they got no balls.
And he's the MOP, and he's a star player, and he's all this and everything else. So, you know, we can't just rip him away from the Toronto Argonauts. But then you banned him from half the year.
Yep. Yeah, and you've given him some conditions that he has to fulfill to be reinstated that I think most people that are reasonable will think he's not going to be able to do that.
Well, not with his past history.
Exactly. I mean, you can't change a leopard's spots, right? That guy's a dickhead. You're not going to fix it.
Well, and he's already filed a defendant's motion to, you know, get rid of a lawsuit because it's all fictitious and he's right and he's not lying and all this other shit. And yet this 87-page report comes back and says that he's pawn scum. Unequivocally violated the three down league's gender-based violence policy. I mean, it does not get any stronger than that. And if he's violated the three down league's gender-based violence policy, then kick his fucking ass to the curb.
Bingo.
I don't get it. Oh, hang on. I just found it funny. Okay. Has anybody heard of who the third-party independent investigator was?
No.
Will, have you heard? Rick, no?
No.
Nothing?
No.
No, I have not.
No.
Okay. It's a Saskatchewan-based firm. This is Saskatchewan that are investigating misconduct? How is that even possible? They committed more than anybody else.
They had to have a really impartial independent party. And I'm thinking Saskatchewan would be an ideal place as opposed to corrupt law offices in Toronto. You know what I mean? But that is funny. It is funny. So.
Are you still there?
I'm going to also have to throw in here, guys, that I'm actually getting a little tired reading about Chad Kelly and the different groups I'm in.
Me too.
Yeah, me too. I want some football to start playing, but in the meantime, and the whole thing here, in my opinion, isn't Chad Kelly. He is not the problem here. Yeah, he's a dickhead. Yes, he harassed this woman. Yes, he repeatedly asked her out on a date. Yes, he tried to strong-arm her into going to New York with him to watch a football game. Yes, he did a lot of stupid bonehead things, but that's just an immature male, okay? And yes, 30 years ago, it probably would have all been acceptable. It's not acceptable now, but, you know, it wasn't rape. It wasn't anything bad. It was nothing. You know, he just asked her out, and she said no. Okay, and I'm not trying to belittle what he did in any way, shape, or form. I wouldn't want that to have happened to my daughter. I would have dealt with it in a different manner than what happened. Yada, yada, yada. Okay. The problem is Argo's management and what they did and what they didn't do. So first off, they are supposed to file a report with the league office that one of their players, one of their people, one of their personnel has violated the league's gender-based violence policy. Okay? They all have gone to school. They've all had a class. Everybody that's associated with the football team has had a class that goes over what their procedures the league has. This was put in place by Jeffrey Orridge back in, 2015? And one of the best CFL commissioner we ever had. Anyhow, beside the point. So this was all put in place a long time ago, and everybody has been involved in it. Everybody has to be certified in this program to be associated with a football team. So the first thing that Toronto does is this happens, and they don't report it to the league. Strike one, John Murphy. Okay? This went to John Murphy. Now, if we remember John Murphy, was the general manager with the Argos, I believe it was, and he got into a physical altercation with a Ticats fan in the concourse of BMO Field. And the league suspended him. And he lost the job of GM or whatever else. So he de facto is the general manager of the Argonauts right now, because nobody believes that Michael Clemens is possible of being anything more than a mascot for the team. So he is ultimately the general manager. He's the one that's building this football team. So now he just hears all of this, doesn't do a damn thing about it, sweeps it under the rug, ends up firing the chick, and doesn't send Kelly for counseling, doesn't reprimand Kelly in any way, shape, or form, doesn't do anything. He just fires the victim. Why does John Murphy still have a job? I don't understand this. Why hasn't MLSE walked in and said, you guys are not running this, our company, efficiently and productively, and you're embarrassing us. So, Michael Pinball Clemens, you either knew all about this and you were part of the conspiracy and the cover-up, or you were completely oblivious to it, and you're moronic. Either way, you're fired. You're incompetent. Michael Pinball Clemens should be fired from the Toronto Argonauts right now. John Murphy should be fired from the Toronto Argonauts right fucking now. This is what should happen. Chad Kelly, who cares about Chad Kelly? He's just an idiot. But, yeah, he was being a dick. I understand that. But these guys actually broke CFL policy. And, you know, we got rules in our league so that we can all abide by them, and so that we have an equal playing field and everybody is treated the same, and everybody is protected, and we have rules for on-field, we have rules for off-field, we have rules for everything. I mean, it's kind of the way that it is. And you have to abide by them. And when you don't abide by them, there needs to be consequences. Right now, there has been zero consequences to the Toronto Argonauts. Chad Kelly got suspended for 9 games. And, you know, what did they say? He's going to lose $72,000 out of his, $700,000 contract?
Yeah.
10%. So, but the problem isn't Chad Kelly. The problem is management at the Toronto Argonauts. And the fact that this happened, and it escalated to the point that it did. I mean, John Murphy actually said to this woman, "You're opening a can of worms that doesn't need to be opened."
Yep.
If he said that to my daughter, I would have throat punched him.
I'm guessing maybe your daughter would have done that first.
My daughter would have done it. 100%.
Exactly.
She wasn't tall enough. She's not tall enough to do that, but she kicked him in the nuts till he bent over.
That'll work.
Oh, yeah. And without hesitation, she would do it. Tell me I'm wrong, please. Explain to the listeners right now what management's done wrong.
Can't do it. You've already said it. Nothing to add.
It boggles the mind that somebody hasn't stepped in. Why hasn't the league said, okay, Michael Clemens, you're suspended. You're suspended. Why hasn't MLSE walked in and said, you guys are fired? Fuck you.
And the reason behind that is Randy Ambrosi is not a very good CFL president, or whatever the fuck he is.
Just add this to the list of Randy's shortcomings.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Long and distinguished, kind of like Mike Johnson.
Don't disagree with anything you say, Christopher. I do believe it is Chad Kelly's fault, and I don't think Chad Kelly will toe the rules, and I don't think we'll ever see him in the CFL again. That's what I'm thinking. Unless who's ever implementing what he has to do fudges it, okay? Because this guy has been a problem. This guy has been a problem in every league he's been since he was in high school. And he hasn't changed. And he's not going to change.
No.
And, you know, it's funny because I saw an interview with Mike O'Shea in Winnipeg. And they asked him about the length of the suspension. And he said, basically, they shouldn't really be talking to him about the length of the suspension. They should be talking to all the females that are in the CFL. And apparently there's quite a few females in the CFL.
Yes.
And he says, this is about them having to feel safe. Okay? And so he said, I'm not going to comment on it. You should ask some of the females in the league about it. But he says the key to the whole thing is they should feel safe in their workplace. Like every employee should feel safe in their workplace. You know what I mean? 100%. So, I mean, nine games is a hefty suspension. And I don't think it will end at nine games because I don't think he has enough in him. I watched the other day, I saw online that rant where he went off on Facebook or wherever it was. And he obviously has some problems, man, some big problems. And until you recognize that you have problems, you're not going to get help. It's that simple. So,
yeah, but if this is the most severe fine that's ever been handed out,
yep.
Why stop there?
Well,
if this is warrants something that is not like what did Andrew Harris got, a 3-game suspension for doping?
Yeah.
Okay. If you get caught cheating, if you get caught doing something, and you know you get a suspension and it was severe, it was 3 games, yada yada yada. Okay, I'm going to appeal this. It's going to go down to 2. Whatever, right? It's just one of those things that happens. But if you're going to suspend somebody so severe that this is so bad that you have to suspend them for 9 games, why do you want them back? Why would you?
Well, because people also have rights today, so you got to give them the benefit of the doubt, I guess.
He has no benefit of the doubt. He's a fucking dickhead.
Well, we know that, but once again, the Calgary Stampeders don't have a good quarterback. We all see that, but nobody changes anything, okay? It's the same thing. What you can see from the outside looking in might be different what they see, or they just don't tell you about it because it is what it is, man.
I mean,
you know,
this is going
and to I have no problem with guys getting a 3-game suspension for cheating, okay? Or whatever. But this guy didn't cheat. This guy did something different, okay? And he should be severely punished, and 9 games is pretty good punishment. And I don't know if he'll be back. Or maybe he'll get some humility, because some people do change. But, you know, Johnny Manziel could not change his ways to get back into the CFL. So, I don't know. Go ahead.
A prominent female employee with the Winnipeg Blue Bombers has called out Toronto Argonauts general manager Pinball Clemens and CFL commissioner Randy Ambrosi for the handling of the Chad Kelly suspension. Senior director of branding Rianne Marco, who has worked for the club since 2014, took to her X account on Friday to post a scathing thread regarding Clemens' first public comments on the discipline. Pinball, you said yesterday, we will give Chad Kelly all the support that he needs. What are you doing to support the female staff that now have to face coming to work every day with a predator in the building? Have you even spoken to them about your decision to allow this? As I and many female staff members across the league have communicated to Randy Ambrosi, the handling of this extremely serious situation has been a complete and utter failure from top to bottom. You promised to go above and beyond the league's recommendation. Yet at this, the first opportunity to do so, you did the complete opposite. You have only managed to downplay a serious situation and make women across the league feel undervalued, disrespected, and unsupported. You need to do better. Marco is the second prominent female within the CFL to publicly voice displeasure with the handling of Kelly in as many days. Joining the league's senior manager of web and digital content, Christina Constable. The outcry was prompted by the Argonauts' decision to allow the embattled quarterback to attend rookie camp practice on Thursday while serving a suspension, which complies with the current league disciplinary rule. Now, I want to talk about that. That's one of the things that we need to talk about. But let's first deal with this kind lady that just ripped a strip off Ambrosi and Pinball. She's not wrong.
Not even close.
She's
not even close to wrong.
She's not.
No. She's not
wrong. I said John should lose his job. I said Pinball Clemens should lose his job for the way that this is handled. Let's add Andy Ambrosi to this list. He's fucking dropped the ball at every point of this. Do you remember a month or so ago when there was some comments made in the league office about how the league hasn't said anything publicly about this, and they sent an email around or a memo around that dismissed the whole thing? and two female in the league head office quit. They resigned their positions because they couldn't, they just not felt comfortable working for a league that would put up with this bullshit. Nothing else has been said about that, has it? That was just came in, and that was offhanded by somebody else said, oh, by the way, it should have been a front news story. Maybe it will become one. But Rick said that earlier. The women in this league have to feel comfortable going to work. William, you're right. Everybody should feel comfortable going to work.
Yep.
And I don't think they do. Not right now.
And once again, this doesn't help. I hate to say it. It doesn't help the league attracting new customers, okay?
No, they're alienating their old customers at the same time.
Absolutely.
Okay. Now, I mean, Phyllis Jesperson, we've known for a better part of 10 years, she
yep.
will not go to a Ticats game, Ticat Argos game, if Chad Kelly is there.
Yeah.
Refuses to go.
Yeah.
And
Phyllis Jesperson is a huge CFL fan.
Oh, yeah. Monstrous. She will not go to a game if Chad Kelly is there.
Yep. Interesting.
So on that side, I mean, there are people who are talking about organizing boycotts in their city when the Argos come to play them. But, you know, as a season ticket holder, you've already bought your ticket, so you've already paid for it. You're not really hurting your team. But there's a lot of walk-up tickets that aren't going to be sold because of that. If this is actually gets any traction, I mean, it's very hard to do a boycott. I mean, they just tried to do one with Loblaws, and yet the store was packed. So how else can the fans show their displeasure in a way in which that it is actually mean something? Is there nothing? I don't honestly don't think that there's anything we can do. It's no different than the displeasure that we have right now with Justin Trudeau. I'm not going to make this political, but there's nothing that we can do about him.
Well, you can shoot him.
No, you can't, because then he becomes a martyr for gun control.
Well, no, not really. Not if nobody catches you shooting them, is what I'm saying. Okay?
No, you can't do that.
Okay.
Right? You can't shoot them.
I'm far too attractive to go to prison.
Yeah. I mean, there's,
okay.
I know people do it, but, you know, every time somebody says something like that, I said no, because then the government will just try to take all our guns away because we've killed the prime minister. Never happened before. Oh my God,
I'm not
talking about
I'm not talking about the Prime Minister. I'm talking about Chad Kelly.
I'm not talking about Chad Kelly. I don't have a problem with Chad Kelly. I don't give a shit about him. He's going to fuck up again, and he's going to get kicked out. I really don't care. There's no consequences
okay.
to him right now. The problem is Randy Ambrosi, Pinball Clemens, and John Murphy. There's no accountability for these men right now. Chad Kelly's got a suspension.
No.
What's happening to these guys? Yes, we're going to call Chad Kelly a predator, but who's allowing him to be there? You can't
I really don't think MLS pays much attention to the Toronto Argonauts because they don't give a fuck, man. So that's what I think, anyways.
I don't disagree with you.
So,
but at the same time, something has to happen. MLSE has to stand up, pay attention, and clean house. And the only thing that they're really cared about, and they said that they made this announcement, the only thing we care about is the Toronto Maple Leafs winning a championship. And they're doing a piss-poor job of that.
Yeah.
Oh, How's the Canucks game going?
It's 3-2 for Vancouver.
Oh, okay. Late in the game?
No, there's still 18 minutes left.
Okay. So they're in the third period.
Yep.
Okay. Sorry, Oilers fans.
And it's funny. It's funny because the way they're winning is they're whacking and hacking McDavid every chance they get. And it's throwing him off his
playing,
game.
They're playing old school hockey. Finally, that's what happens when you get rid of the Sedin sisters.
Well,
yeah,
It's funny because I was talking to Robert's girlfriend the other day about McJesus or McDavid, and she says, "My dad says he's the best." I say he's the best hockey player I've ever seen, and my dad says, "Well, if he had played in my era, when you'd fly down the right wing and get punched in the face, he may not be that good." And Vancouver is proving that right now. Vancouver is proving that right now. Well,
that's what Vancouver's coach, Vancouver's coach
got him off
his game. Saying, yeah, you can't stand in front of him. He'll dance around you. You got to come at the side. You got to stick check him. You got to bang him.
Yep.
And then he's not so great.
And, I mean, I really would like to see Vancouver almost win the Stanley Cup because they need another ride in Vancouver.
No, we don't.
Shut up, William. I'm not even going to go there with you.
That's what they know how to do. They riot. Anyways, doesn't matter. You see, that's why we should be talking football because the Lions fans don't riot when they win the Grey Cup.
Yeah, but I don't think the Canuck fans would riot if they won the Grey Cup either. They were up 3-1 on Boston, and Boston came back and beat them 4-3 in Game 7. And the fans
but they would have rioted whether they won or not.
It wasn't
hey,
the
come
fans
on,
that
Will.
Were
how
riot.
Can I, how can Hey, Willie, how can 150 Lions fans have a riot? They need more than that.
That's funny, Christopher. That's funny.
So where's that mute button for Rick? The mute button for Rick. Okay.
Couldn't resist.
Okay, so, yeah, we're talking about Toronto here. How do you believe or what's your opinion on how this will affect the Toronto Argonauts in this season? So if the other fan bases like Hamilton Tiger Cats with Phyllis Jesperson and so many other across the league have said that they're going to boycott the Toronto Argonaut games when the Argos come to their city, what's going to happen in Toronto? Do you think that the fan base in Toronto is defending this guy and saying that trying to blow all of this off? Or do you think the majority of people are going to take this seriously and they're not going to renew their Tom Argonaut season tickets while Chad Kelly's part of this?
You know what? I think you could go to Toronto and interview people in groups of 10, and 8 out of 10 people wouldn't know who the fuck Chad Kelly was.
I don't think too many of them would know who the Argos are.
No. I agree. So I don't think it'll affect their fan base whatsoever.
I'm not talking about the mass. I'm talking about the Toronto Argonauts. Hardcore fan base, do you believe that this will affect them going to the game?
No.
I agree.
No.
Once football starts, it'll be something that never happened.
You know, I mean, okay, so right off the pot, oh, yes. McJesus just scored 3-3. All right.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
If I was in the same position and I was in Calgary and a Stampeder did that and they suspended him for 9 games, I'd absolutely still go to the fucking game. I'm a football fan, okay? Why should I punish myself because one guy did what he did?
Yep.
Is all I'm going to say. So, and I understand people have rights, and yes, I believe in women's rights, believe it or not, but you know what? It's not going to affect me going to football games. Sorry. As long as the punish... Now, if they didn't suspend them, shit. I'd probably still go, to be honest with you.
Because
I like football, man. I like football.
Once the season starts, nothing else matters.
Okay. So, if the Edmonton Elks have lost so many fans because of a name change...
Yes.
Do you believe that the Toronto Argonauts are going to lose the same amount of fans because they've still got Chad Kelly? Do you think that this is not going to affect the women, the female fans of the Toronto Argonauts? Do you not believe that when the female fans of the Toronto Argonauts don't go to the football games that their husbands still will?
I think they will.
Women still support. Hey, women still support Trump, don't they?
Yeah. What's your point? I don't want to get political, and I don't want to get into Trump.
No, that's not political. That's not political. It's the attitude of people. Some people just don't give a shit about any of this. And you know what?
You know what? And you know what? He has a. Go ahead.
Any fan that left the Elk because they changed their name was never a fan to start with. That's my opinion.
That's a good
was
argument.
Never their team.
It's an argument I used even today at the beginning of the show.
Yep.
Your other football
just...
fan. Are you not?
Yep. That's my opinion anyway.
The problem that I have here more than anything is they have given Sean Lemon an indefinite suspension, and I don't think he did anything wrong in comparison to Chad Kelly. They banned Jerome Messam from the league. They banned Johnny Manziel from the league. Why is Chad Kelly still in the league?
Well, but he got the longest suspension ever in the history of the CFL, so.
So?
So that's big in my mind. Should it have happened as soon as this stuff happened? I would say yes, but whatever. I mean, it doesn't matter what they do, this league is not going to look good because of this. And will it affect attendance? I think a little bit with some people, but for the diehards, it's not. They're still going to go to football games.
This could have been handled really simply and really easily,
yes,
very efficiently at the beginning of all of this. When the Argos found out about this, they should have suspended Chad Kelly. They should have got him professional help, put him in counseling. They should have apologized to the coach. They should have filed the appropriate paperwork with the league. And the league would have said, it looks like you've got this matter well at hand. We're not going to interfere with you. Thank you very much for taking this responsibility. And then they would have waited for the investigation, not the investigation. They wouldn't have had an investigation. They would have waited to the trial, the civil matter, gone to court. And if she won, then Chad Kelly would have been terminated because he was suspended until that. And then he gets terminated. And John Murphy keeps his job. Pinball keeps his job. Nobody, I'm not yelling at Pinball. Pinball still has the respect of the majority of people out there. Now he doesn't. How can you respect that man? You can't. doesn't matter. Everything that he did prior to this point in time has been completely obliterated because of the way he has handled this.
Really? His,
does he
his
get
press
a bit,
conference didn't
he,
fix everything for you?
I'm sorry?
Does he?
Go ahead, Rick.
I said his press conference today didn't fix everything for you?
No, it just guaranteed that, that my opinion is correct. He should be fired.
There you go.
Does he get a pass because he's stupid?
I don't think the man's stupid.
I think he is. I personally think that most of what he does for the Argonauts is just he's kind of like the queen. Okay, he's a figurehead.
No,
and I think the data, yeah, they're the same thing. Okay, so I don't know.
Do you remember Mark Cohen as the commissioner in the CFL? And everybody loved Mark Cohen because he went to football games in his jeans, but they were, you know, $200 designer jeans, and he bought fans beer, and he kissed baby, okay? And everybody loved him, okay? He wasn't a commissioner. He was a fucking cheerleader.
Right.
Okay. When we actually got a commissioner into the CFL, Jeffrey Orridge, who actually changed the league, implemented policies that today are still active and realistic, and did so much wonderful things for the league, everybody hated him because his policies made sense. And that was when Saskatchewan got fined for 4 rule violations, with Chris Jones having players in all sorts of different buildings and houses and renting properties and, you know what I mean, and doing all of that.
Yep.
And everybody got mad because the Saskatchewan Rough Riders got fined for 4 separate violations. And Jeffrey Orridge lost his job after 9 months, a year on the job, because the league, he was actually doing things the proper way, and the old boys club, the owners, didn't like it that way because they liked having to be able to do whatever the hell they want and not be held accountable by their commissioner.
Right.
And we lost the best commissioner we ever had in the CFL. And who did we get next? We got this fucking clown. And it boggles the mind that this guy has made it for 8 years and not successfully had a single thing work. Not a single thing. I was on CFL.ca today, and I went, oh, my God, they haven't fixed this yet?
I don't think it's fixable.
They put back the old system. It worked.
Well, I would agree, but it's been over a year and they haven't fixed it. So how can it be fixed?
Anything can be fixed.
Well, yeah, but that's what I'm thinking. Anything can be fixed. Why the fuck haven't they fixed it?
They don't want to.
It costs too much money? I don't know.
Put back the old one.
Do you know what we're talking about, Rick, by the way?
Probably the stats.
Yeah, the stats don't work.
Yeah, I listened to enough of your podcast last year to get that.
And it may not be that big of a thing, but we look at those things constantly, and we haven't been able to, and it's stupid.
Seems
absolutely
a simple thing.
It's absolutely ridiculous.
So you got questions for Glenn on why Randy's so useless?
Oh, yes, I do.
Questions for Glenn? Who's Glenn?
We're having breakfast with a football buddy that we played high school football with, who was a teammate of Randy Ambrosi's at the University of Manitoba when we were in Winnipeg. So that's one of the first things that's going to come out of my mouth is how stupid is Randy Ambrosi?
Yes. Okay. So I'm on CFL.ca. I went to the stats page, and under the stats, under player stats, category is passing, which is quarterbacks, right?
Yep.
And both to the 2016 season, because I want to know what's going on in 2016, and it says no data available in this table.
Nope.
2021. No data available in this table.
And we used to be able to look back 20 fucking years. It's insane. That's all I'm going to say.
And, you know, you used to be able to look at your schedule and go back and look at, you know, what was the score of the game in 2014 between the Stamps and the Lions.
Yep.
And do that. And go back and find out who was in the Eastern semifinal game in 2017. God knows you wouldn't want to know something like that. Deep sigh.
Yes.
Okay. So where are we here? We've done all of that. We can keep going on Chad Kelly, but I'm kind of getting tired of him.
Yeah, just like the entire thing. I'm tired of it. I don't think we should ever bring it up again. So.
Well, he's going to do something stupid again.
Well,
Do you remember talking about Johnny Manziel?
Yes. Yeah, but you know what? Johnny Manziel makes this guy look like he's intelligent.
Manziel looks smart or Kelly looks smart?
Yes. No, Manziel's smart compared to this guy.
Oh, without question. I don't even know what Manziel puts
things on video and then posts them. Like, wow, what are you, in high school?
No, he didn't make it out of high school. I think he got expelled. You know what, and Rick, about your team, you would unvolunteer people or from your organization. What was your father like?
What was my father like?
Well, I know my father, and I got in trouble at school, and he got called into the principal office, and he listened to the principal lecture him about my behavior, okay? Didn't say a word. We got up after this meeting, and we walked out into the hallway, and we were going home. We were going to go out through the entrance of the school, and he stopped, and he turned, and he looked at me, and he said, "I don't ever want to have to do this again." And he didn't say another word about it. There was no punishment. There was no extra chores. There was nothing except the extreme fear. If I acted up that way again and my father had to go to the school, there would be extreme consequences. You take care of it in-house. The school didn't need to discipline me. My father did it with a look. Toronto Argonauts did not take care of their own business.
They did not. You get no argument out of me.
But would that have happened in your house? Similar? Something?
Yeah.
You guys were big boys, but what was your father like?
No, it would depend on who did it. If I did it, my mother would protect me. If Rick did it, my father would beat him. So
here's one that boggles the mind for me out of this entire thing, and it's still kind of Chad Kelly-ish. The CFLPA, the Canadian Football League Players Association, files an appeal for access to the complete 87-page independent investigation report into the Chad Kelly affair. Would you not, I don't have a problem with this. I think the CFLPA should have it, and I don't understand why the league wouldn't give it to him, to them, upon the completion.
100%.
Because
100%. Give it to everybody.
No, I disagree. They shouldn't give it to the coach. She does not, there's no obligation to give it to her or her defense team. You don't give ammunition to the other side. Okay? She is suing the Argonauts. She is suing Chad Kelly. She is suing the league.
Yes.
You don't give them an independent investigation saying that Chad Kelly did exactly what she said.
No, they'll just get the courts to give it to them.
Under what premise?
Well, if the league has done an investigation...
There's nothing in the law that says that they have to give that to them. They could do their own investigation and submit that as evidence, but they can't demand your investigation. Okay?
But they can.
No, I believe they cannot. They cannot.
If the league has found them guilty of an offense, they can get that. Trust me.
But
so
CFL,
years ago when
CFL,
I was a real estate agent...
The CFLPA
when I was a real estate agent,
immediately have been given a copy of this.
Yeah, well, years ago when I was a real estate agent, I was a member of the Business Practice Committee, and I investigated complaints against realtors. And we used to do up a big report on it and see if it was going to go to a hearing. And then one year our lawyers told us that give a verbal report, never write up a report, because your investigation, if you make notes of it and it goes into a file, anybody suing the real estate board or the realtor can get your investigation just by asking for it through the courts. Because it's all pertinent to their case. They can get it. Trust me.
Okay, I'm not arguing that. I can't see why you would automatically give it to them. But that's,
No. I when I said give it to everybody, I didn't mean them. I mean like every president of every club, every GM should get a copy of this investigation.
Right, but there's no reason
Players Association should get one. You bet.
Because 100%. Right away, the first thing the PA's job is to defend the player, okay?
Correct.
And if you've got a 87-page report that's saying this player is absolutely guilty, everything he did was wrong, it really takes the wind out of the sail of a grievance.
Yes.
Okay?
100%.
And you really... I know a lot of lawyers, and I've dealt with a lot of lawyers. I've dealt with a lot of people, and there's not many people that get really enthusiastic about defending a case where the person is wrong.
Yes.
Okay. I don't know how defense lawyers can defend defendants who they know are guilty. And, in fact, they're not obligated to, so they kind of have to not know the truth for them to go forward. You have to be a special person to do that. So, you know, with the Players Association getting this report and seeing what the investigation has come up with, there's not a lot of backing for Chad Kelly in the appeal process. But then I'm looking at this. Can Chad Kelly appeal? Yes, he can. Let's say, should he appeal the judgment? Because the judgment is pending on his acknowledgement and counseling and acceptance of what he did was wrong. and to improve himself and to, you know what I mean? To rehabilitate himself. His suspension is minimum of 9 games. It could be longer. It could be termination. It could be everything.
Yep.
By him appealing that in itself means that he's not taking responsibility for his actions. And the league then has the right to terminate him. Okay? So what appeal does Chad Kelly have? He can say, yes, I agree with the report. I apologize. Everything in it is accurate. I'm a bad boy. I'm a dickhead. Yes, but I'm appealing the 9-game suspension. I think that it's excessive. I think it should only be a 3-game suspension. And I will write in a written apology. That's the only appeal that he has. He has to come out and admit that he did all of these things. And then he can appeal the length of his suspension, not the fact that he got suspended. Do you agree with that?
Yep. Makes sense.
That wasn't even a two-syllable answer.
I agree.
God, you guys. He's going to be the death of me.
Well, no, you just go on and on and on and on and on, and by the time you're done, we have nothing to say because you've said it all. So it's that simple, man. Sorry.
You can't say you're wrong when you're not wrong.
Right. I mean, if you had said something stupid, we'd tell you it was stupid, but it wasn't. So, but, I mean, Chad Kelly still has the right to challenge anything, okay? That is his right. And
it is.
Because of who he is, he's going to. Because I do not believe he thinks he did anything wrong.
Right. I agree with you.
Because he still thinks like they used to think in the 80s, and he probably thinks he's Chad Kelly. It's that simple, man. And I mean, look at the guy. Have you seen his fucking haircut? I mean, he hasn't managed to change that. So what do you think he's going to do about something like this? Like, come on.
Amazing.
He looks like someone put a... You know what he looks like? Hey, Rick, he looks like when we used to go to Mike the Barber, okay? That's what he looks like.
Are you saying there was something wrong with our haircuts for Mike the Barber?
Yes, there was something wrong with our haircuts. Anything would go wrong when they only charge you $1 for a haircut, okay?
It was $5.
Okay. Anything else you guys want to talk about?
We didn't bring this up. Chase Claypool signed in Buffalo.
Chase Claypool signed
one-year contract.
So he's not going to Saskatchewan. Not that he would ever.
Okay, so yeah. Hey, here's there's a list. Three Down Nation, Justin Dunk put it out on May 7th, which would be 3 days ago. It is the CFL's 15 highest paid quarterbacks for the 2024 season. I honestly didn't think there was 15 quarterbacks in the league.
Me either.
A little concerned by this. Number one, highest paid quarterback in the CFL. Who is it?
Chad Kelly.
Zach Kalerick.
Oh, Zach Kolaris. I forgot about him.
$600,000 in hard money. His maximum value is $600,000. That's the most that he can make. Okay. He's collected a $300,000 off-season roster bonus on January 15th. And then he gets a base salary of $286,000 and $13,000 in housing allowance. Chad Kelly's contract is $583,000. That's his hard money, and that is his maximum value. That's the most that he can make. Trevor Harris comes in third at $473,000. His maximum value is $500,000, and he gets an additional $1,500 each time he takes more than half of the Saskatchewan offensive snaps in a game. It's what, $27,000 he can get bonuses in. Fourth highest paid quarterback is, guess who?
Bull Levi Mitchell.
Nope, McLeod Bethel Thompson.
Okay.
$461,000 is the $542,500 is the maximum value. He gets bonuses if he throws more. He gets a $7,500 bonus if he throws for 4,000 yards. He gets $5,000 bonus if he leads the league in passing yards. He gets a $5,000 bonus if he leads the league in touchdown passes. Okay. Number five. Who's number five, Will?
Bo Levi Mitchell.
Cody Fajardo.
No. Oh, really? They pay him? They pay him?
Fajardo.
Wow.
Maximum value, $450,000. So he only has $18,000 in bonus money possibilities, which is $1,000 per game if he plays half the snaps. Number six is Vernon Adams. Hard money is $403,000. Maximum value, $403,000. Number seven, one of your favorites, Jake Meyer. Hard money is $339,000. Maximum value, $380,000. He's got some $10,000 in non-football related services. He gets paid $10,000 to go kiss babies and sign autographs, $5,000 for training, and not much else. Number eight is Drew Brown, $340,000 max value. Then number nine is Bo Levi Mitchell at $316,000. Did I say Vernon Adams? Yeah, Vernon Adams was $403,000. Jeremiah Mazzoli, Chris Freveler, maximum value $174,000. Mason Fine, $134,000. Jake Dugala, $172,000. Matthew Schlitz in Calgary, $199,000, max value.
Wow.
And number 15 is Caleb Evans in Montreal. So they didn't get two quarterbacks from every team. But they did get – hang on a second here. Drew Brown is getting paid more than Jeremiah Mazzoli.
Yeah, he should.
Because
they played the same amount of games last year. Two.
The Elks and the – Elks, Alouettes, and who else? The Ticats. Elks and Ticats are the only teams in here that don't have two quarterbacks listed. They dropped off out of the top 15. I mean, there is only 18, right? So there's three of them that don't have two in here. Okay. Kind of interesting. But there is another one there. 15 highest paid offensive linemen. Three Down Nation just went through and did a whole pile of things. Highest paid receivers in 2014. Number one is Geno Lewis at 320. Kenny Lawler, 285. Dalton Schoen, 230. Nick Dembski, 2.25. Alexander Hollis, 234. Tim White, 235. Curly Gittens, 210. Dominic Rhymes, 201. Jovan Kotoy, 198. Reggie Bagleton, 187.
Not to interrupt things, but it's going into overtime in Vancouver.
Oh, is it?
Yep.
Okay.
Your grandson's not watching?
He's not home. He's out camping with the in-laws.
Oh, okay.
I think they're watching
it. Yeah, no, it hasn't started yet.
Did it just go to, like, we got a 20-minute intermission?
Yes. Well, no, they don't wait that long. They don't wait that long anymore.
Yeah, they do.
Not for overtime. No, they don't.
Yeah, in the playoffs. Regular season, it's only a 3-minute or 5-minute or something like that. They don't even clean the ice. But in the playoff hockey, they treat it like a whole other period. And they can go on for all night. Yeah, they rest for 20 minutes between the periods now. Used to be 15, I think. Or actually, it used to be 10.
Okay.
Well, we got 7 minutes left in the show. Is there anything else you guys want to talk about? Rick, have you brought anything to the table that you thought was wonderful?
Sadly, no.
No? Okay.
I was going to make a comment on, you know, the top 15 paid quarterbacks. You know what the top quarterback in the NFL makes?
No.
The entire CFL. 55
million.
The entire CFL.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
You could own the CFL
Isn't
if you
that,
wanted to.
What's the salary cap in the CFL now?
5.6 or something like that.
Yeah, there you go, right? Sweet.
Okay.
Sweet.
Quickly going over this on running backs. Highest paid running back, Brady Oliveira at 230. AJ Ouellette is number two at 165. Who's the third running back in the CFL?
Ryan Hamilton.
No. Javon Leak
no.
in Edmonton Elks. 133,000. Number four, Kevin Brown from the Elks. 30.
Wow.
Number five, David Mackey, BC. He's a fullback. 130.
That's crazy.
That's decent money for a fullback.
13,000.
Wow.
William Standback in BC, hard money of 99,000, maximum value 125.
That's a I don't want to reject your contract.
Wow. Okay. I think it's time to go away. Are you guys good with that?
Yeah, I'm good with that.
And four.
I want to watch the overtime.
This is, you guys, like I said, you got 20 minutes. There's no rush. This is the Let's Talk CFL podcast episode number 572. I've been your host, Christopher Jones. We got to talk about Chad Kelly for 2.5 hours. Wasn't that wonderful? No, we got to talk about some other things in football. But we've got training camp happening right now. We're going to be talking about some football games really soon, and that's kind of exciting. So you guys take care. We enjoy things. We'll be back at it next week, hopefully. Blog Talk cooperated this time, and maybe even Charles might show up for a show once in a while. Be a good thing. So, Rick, say goodnight.
Goodnight.
You're going to be the death of me. You really are, you know. William, say goodnight.
Go ahead, Rick. Say what you want
to
say.
I like to do what I'm told. You know, I'm a pleaser.
You gotta say goodnight to the fans. Talk to the fans out there, like you know you're trying to relate to them.
I'll tell you one thing. I'm going to have to step up my game and watch a lot more football games this year to keep up with you guys. So,
yeah,
have
that will.
Informed opinion.
An informed opinion is a wonderful thing. Okay, William.
Correct. Good night, everybody. Let's hope there's football in two weeks.
We haven't said anything about the Atlantic Schooners. Or Marcus Crandall in quite some time.
I know, but that's only because the Atlantic Schooners rule and Marcus Crandall was the greatest quarterback in CFL history. Just ask the Winnipeg Blue Bombers and Milt Siegel.
He was on the losing
Grey Cup team that year. Okay, Marcus Crandall did it all. He's our hero. Anyways, let's go. It's time to go. Good night, everybody. Watch football. It's coming. Go ahead.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.